Colossians 3. Colossians 3, verse 5. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, that's lust, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Verse 8. Now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. And half a verse in Hebrews 12, verse 1. Second half of the verse says, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Ensnaring sin and weights. And, you know, we look around at one another. I don't know who the message is for today. Maybe just for me. It's something I've been reading over and enjoying, some of these tools to help with some of these things. But we look around at one another and think everybody has it all together. And it's possibly, maybe probably not true. Most or many assemblies and churches, it's not true. I remember being in an assembly where one brother just suffered under something he couldn't shake for years and years and years, and nobody knew it. But he looked around the room and he thought, they've all got it together and I don't. And you know, there's some tools that can help us with this. We're told to renew the mind. As long as we're in Hebrews there, in 12, that was, I've already turned the page, Hebrews 12. We read in the last half of verse 1, and it tells us in verse 2 what to do, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We need to have him in sight, looking up to Jesus. Not looking down at the circumstances we're under. We shouldn't be under the circumstances, but looking up unto Jesus. Think of it, for the joy set before me, endured the cross, despised the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne on high. Consider him, verse 3 says. Consider him. So we need to be looking at him, and it would be good to be reading the gospel, stay in a gospel. Whatever else you read, read through a gospel as well. Well, some things that are helpful. Let's look at Psalm 119. Seems like we're in Psalm 119 often. Psalm 119. Verse 11. Here's a tool to help us. Your word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Verse 9. How can a young man, and it doesn't mean just a young man, a young person, but it's old folks too. How can a person cleanse their way? By taking heed according to your word. And over in verse 133. Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. And it was said here a few weeks ago, we get into the word, but is the word getting into me? Gospel Messengers, if you know them, from New York years ago, had a great song, and that's exactly what it was. Into the word, getting into the word, but is the word getting into me? And so we see the importance of being in the word. Here's the revealed word. If you're not reading it, you're no better off than the person in a country where they're forbidden to read it and can't get their hands on it. So let's be in the word. Also, John 17, verse John 17, same thing. Verse 17, Jesus praying says about us, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. We need to be in the word. You don't have to study all the false stuff. Study the true stuff. And then you know when you hear something false, you can identify it. It doesn't matter and match up. It's not part of the word. Well, some helpful things to help us with whatever may be a problem for me to deal with. A helpful thing to do, particularly if it's not of the Lord, whatever's not of faith is sin. That's pretty encompassing. But if I have a sin that besets me, something I have a problem with, and you know, it could be lust, it could be greed, it could be gossip, it could be any number of things that, and numbers of things also that in themselves aren't wicked, but they detract me from the Lord Jesus. So I've been reading Romans 6, and I would suggest this, if there's a problem like that, read this every day. Just all 31 days of the month. Read it every day. Get it in the heart. Some of you have wonderful memories, unlike mine, and you can remember most of it, but I think there's still a value to open the book and read it, and it enters the eye gate. In Romans 6, we got time. Let's read it. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace abounds? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. For if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Far enough. And, you know, if I read that whole thing, I could lose the impact of a couple verses. Verse 6, knowing this, that my old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin may be done away with. In verse 11, I reckon myself to be dead unto sin, but alive to God in Christ. Therefore I do not let sin reign in my mortal body, that I should obey it in its lusts. And maybe read the whole section and then read those verses over again. And you know, I've marked some things here. I've got yellow, blue, and red marks in here. You'd think I'd be a 100% dynamic Christian, wouldn't you, with all the marks in my Bible? Certainly not. We died to sin. I have in yellow. Walk in newness of life. Old man was crucified with him. No longer slaves of sin. He who's died has been freed from sin. Live also. We died with sin. We should live with. We shall also live with him. Reckon yourself dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ. Present yourselves as God being alive from the dead. And then mark some things in red. I'm baptized into his death. My old man is crucified with him. I've died. I'm freed or justified from sin. Think of it. Died. I died with Christ. And then I got little blue marks for verse 6 and verse 11 and verse 12. But there's also something else that's very helpful to us is Philippians 4. Philippians And often a problem that one has is really, really trying to get on with the Lord. The problem may not be one of these flagrant sins that we've mentioned, but it may be something that goes on in his mind. I remember a well-known brother. If I told you his name, you'd know who he is. He's got books out. And I remember him saying, he's with the Lord long ago, and I remember him saying that as a young man, a brilliant, brilliant man, by the way, and he said he remembered as a young man, he had wrong thoughts. And he asked the Lord to take him. He labored with that, and he worked at that, and he overcame it with the Lord's help. The Lord helped him with that. I asked him what kind of wrong thoughts. He wouldn't tell me. Which is probably good, because we can have lots of wrong thoughts. And of course, the verses here are verses 8 and 9. Things for me to meditate on, things that are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtuous, praiseworthy. Meditate on these things. So it's all in verse 8. Meditate on these things, and they'd be helpful to us with whatever may plague me, to read these over and over and over. I know some of you can say them by memory. I can't, but I can read them. I got them all underlined. Got the whole section marked in yellow. I told you about that. Don't be afraid to mark up your Bible, you know. You're in it every day, or should be in it every day. So that would help with things. For example, gossip, it would help with, because speak of things that are true and of good report. There was a man who once said to another brother, "Hey, come here, I want to tell you something about so-and-so." He said, "Just a minute." He pulled a little pad out and a pen. He said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm going to write down what you told me." Then he wouldn't tell him. Be careful about what we tell. Don't use our prayer to spread gossip. Let's be careful about it. Some things we have to pray for in secret. And you come to a problem like depression. And I'm not saying depression is a sin. There's some physical things that drive that. Sometimes, I don't know. If you got a problem with depression and you can't shake it, look at the Psalms in the 70s. Psalm 77, 72, I think, and 3. Find out what applies, what helps you with whatever failure, weakness you have, or whatever you want to be strengthened in. Find out where that scripture is and read it every day, day after day after day after day, and get it in your soul. And if you can't shake it, depression, get some help. Call up somebody like Brother Viv John. He'd probably be glad to spend the time with you on the phone. He's a well experienced of that, and a godly, spirit-filled brother. So I just really got these things out for myself. I hope they're helpful to someone else, and trust that the Lord will help us with things that might plague us and draw our attention away from Him. You know, we're in the world. There's so many things. In fact, we are so bombarded by the world that pretty soon we don't realize some things are worldly. One brother I heard say once, the church has gotten worldly and the world has gotten churchy. Well, now the world's even given that up, so it's getting worse and worse than it was. So may the Lord help us. Let's just close in prayer. Ask the Lord to help us. Our God, our Father, we're thankful for the Word. We have the open Bible. We can read it here. And publicly, we give you thanks. We can have a Zoom meeting on Thursday and go over the scriptures in the airwaves. We give you thanks. Help us with whatever each of us might have going on that's a struggle or that we would like to deal with before you. Help us to just open the door to that secret closet and apply the Word, and just help us with these things. I pray, our Father, you just would come in and open for each of us that which you have for us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
While I'm standing here, I'll just make some announcements that we have take a break for some fellowship and refreshments. Thursday is our prayer meeting, followed by our Bible study. We're at Ephesians 4, and we're at verse 20. I have some Sunday school papers still. We gave them out on the first Sunday, and if you didn't get them, I'll put them out. You can pick them up now. And We're just thankful for the visit of Sebastian and Emily. Tell them hello. Hope you can stay for the next hour. We have a good time at Sunday school, some singing. Hope you can stay and enjoy. So introduce yourselves to them.